this in the Chicago Tribune. Longtime political reporter, ABC 7 guy, Andy Shaw, covered politics for years. Now a Change Illinois board member. He wrote this piece in the Tribune. It reads in part, "The raven is no longer perched on his shoulder, the albatross wrapped around his neck, the sword of Damocles dangling over his head." Whatever your metaphor of meaning is clear, Illinois' new House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch is emerging from the towering shadow cast by the all-powerful predecessor and mentor Mike Madigan, who exited Springfield. If he wants to make history of his own in the sunlight in several fewer decades, he can embrace a series of good government reforms Illinois desperately needs, and Madigan stubbornly resisted. It's a great read, and I want to ask Andy Shaw, because he joins us now. I was reading this, and I was thinking, do you, astute political observer that you are, Andy Shaw, really actually believe that Springfield is ready for reform and will actually accomplish any of that, or is this kind of wishful thinking?
Well, maybe it's a little bit of both, Anna. You know, Chris Welch was a protege of Mike Madigan, and Madigan actually asked him if he wanted to be Speaker. So the skeptics and the cynics who read my column emailed me to say nothing's going to change. Welch is just an African-American version of Madigan, and that may be the case. But listening to Welch in the first few weeks and understanding the opportunity he has, I have to believe he will embrace some reforms. Now, will he go as far as we'd like him to go? Probably not. But if he wants to actually make a record for himself and be remembered as more than Mike Madigan's protege, this is his opportunity. There's a whole world of reform that Illinois needs. And if he only embraces several of them and actually leads the charge for some changes that make Illinois a better state, he will be a success. Remember, we're a pariah state right now, Anna. We are one of the worst states in the country in terms of corruption and finances. People are leaving in droves, and government has to get better, or this is going to become a Somalia of U.S. states, and this is his chance. Will he step up? I told him to. Will he listen? That's his call.
I like what you did in the article, too, because you don't get too deep in the weeds so that people fall asleep, as you pointed out, but that, you know, there's only a certain tolerance for hearing exactly how these plans get carried out. But you do lay out the bullet points and some of the things you feel need to be done, and they're great. End gerrymandering, gerrymandering, one of them. Adopt real term limits for legislative leaders. Eliminate conflicts of interest. And you go on and on. Highlight a little bit of this for us, Andy. Tell us how you came up with this list.
Well, I think it's fairly predictable. It's been the boilerplate reform issues for a long time. When somebody like Mike Madigan can be House Speaker for 30 years and can basically block 30 years of reforms, then the argument is, how can somebody lead for so long? That's not healthy. So we need term limits for legislative leaders. Chris Welch supports that, he says. But I think we need to go further, and we need term limits for regular elected officials. I think you can stay somewhere too long. Look, if a really good elected official has to leave because of term limits, maybe that's unfortunate. But you know what? That person could come back one term later. In other words, you have to take a break, but you could come back. We need new people in the political world, because the way it works now, these become lifetime sinecures for people who are mostly concerned about being reelected. And as a result, they're disinclined to take important steps. So term limits is important. It starts with redistricting, creating fair districts that don't protect incumbents so people will run for office and we can get a new breed of people, at least challenge the incumbents. Conflicts of interest. Look, Mike Madigan was handling our tax dollars at the same time his law firm was getting tax breaks for big businesses on their property, and we were paying the difference. So that, to me, is a blatant conflict. We hire him to protect our tax dollars, not to charge us more because he's making money off of clients. That's an obvious one. There are other ones. You know, the statements of economic interest that people file in Springfield. You know what Madigan's statement of economic interest said? It said he had an outside job and he made more than $5,000 a year. That's all. No idea what he did. No idea who his clients were or how much money he made from them. That's ridiculous. When we put you in office and give you a chance to manage our billions of tax dollars, we need to know who you are in terms of your personal finances. Those are just a few of the things. We could go on to election reform. these closed primaries that result in polarized candidates. We need to open up the primaries, maybe go to a form of what they call ranked choice voting, where you basically, you know, it's not just one person per party, but there's a way that you calculate votes, your second and third choices. I'm not going to get into the complications of ranked choice voting. The simple fact is it's a way to encourage and elect more moderate candidates who may work across the aisle. The current system produces left-wing Democrats and right-wing Republicans who barely talk to each other. So that's just part of a very long list. I didn't even get into the financial piece, which is pension reform and tax reform. I could have written 10,000 words on this. But let's see if he will take some of these seriously and think about what's in the best interest of Illinois. If he can do some of these things, it will restore some of the faith in government and make Illinois more attractive for taxpayers and businesses. And that's what we need, because as I said earlier, people are fleeing this state in droves, and that's unhealthy.
Yeah, it is unhealthy. It's unsustainable. So you got to reverse that. How do you do it? We're going to talk a little more about that with Andy Shaw. I also want to dig into one of the points here, the conflicts of interest piece of it all. Because if you look at the ComEd bribery scandal and the federal investigation and the indictments that have already been handed down and the ones that are certain to come, it shows exactly how Springfield works. And how do you eliminate the pieces of that so that that doesn't happen again? After you send people off to prison and you slap people on the wrist and people pay fines and tell on each other and they get who they want to get and the feds do that, what happens next? How do you change that system? 3:46, back with Andy Shaw, former ABC 7 political reporter. He was at the BGA. He ran the BGA for a while, Better Government Association, now with Change Illinois. Andy, let's pick up where we left off. We were talking about conflicts of interest, eliminating them. When you read the Fed case, the filing on the ComEd bribery scandal, the decades-long bribery scandal that ensnares so many different people, you can see how rewarding friends and family has been the way of existence for Springfield for some time. No show jobs, no bid contracts. It's all in there. We know this goes on. And how to reverse that system for a fairer one, a one that benefits us taxpayers, is a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing.
Yeah, well, and one thing that I didn't mention, and that is this lobbying abuse. Too often, someone leaves the legislature after a career, and one day later, that person becomes a lobbyist. This person knows everyone, is connected to all the insiders, and can very quickly do very good things for companies that need bills passed or bills stopped. And as a result, the insiders can basically prevail very quickly with their connections. And so one thing you can do to, it might not have prevented ComEd, but there were a lot of lobbyists in this world, and some of them are indicted. One thing you can do is you can say if you leave the legislature, you have to wait 1 or 2 years before you become a lobbyist. And so maybe by then your contacts have cooled off a bit and you don't have quite that much juice to make things happen. So that's one way to clean the system up a bit. The other, as I say, is to require much fuller disclosure of your personal income and your personal business interests. And then, of course, to prohibit elected officials from having jobs that intersect directly with government and tax dollars. So you're not playing both sides of the fence. You're not safeguarding, presumably, our tax dollars while you're playing games and getting tax breaks for others that we end up paying for. That's so wrong. So those are a few of the things. Now, look, you know, we can't ever stop corruption entirely. A guy like Rod Blagojevich could get on telephone and threaten people, right? If we didn't have video, if we didn't have audio tapes of that, no one ever would have gotten him. So a lot of it can't be stopped. A lot of it's just people have to behave better. But there's so many structural ways we can improve this. And as I say, the goal here, among other things, is to help restore faith in this state among people who basically feel like this is not a state that we want to live in.
Yeah, it's an important point. Let's underline that, because it is such an important thing to do, which is why the opinion piece you wrote in the Tribune made me take such special notice. You've been talking about these things for a long time. They haven't gotten done, but now it's a moment in time. You've got a new Speaker Chris Welch, and he's taking over from Mike Madigan. And while he is appointed by, he's an ally of his, there's hope that things could change. And I wonder how hopeful we could be about that, though, Andy.
Well, let me just tell you this. Every great struggle in American history, from kicking out the British to ending slavery to ending sweatshops and child labor to giving women the right to vote, then to impose civil rights and then gay rights, every one of those battles for a better human condition took years, if not decades. The fight for better government is one of those struggles that take a very long time. And I've been fighting this fight for several decades myself, and I have the same energy I always had, because you can't give up and you can't say you won't win. I won't see good government in my lifetime. I hope I see slightly better government. Look, in the city of Chicago, Mayor Lightfoot, for all of her problems with crime and vandalism and policing and battles with the teachers union, at least believes in a progressive good government agenda. And if she can get over the pandemic and all the other crises, she can take some steps that will make Illinois, Chicago, a cleaner place. One of our big pushes this spring is going to be ending gerrymandering of city wards, which was what Ed Burke did for many years in Chicago, like Mike Madigan did in Springfield. We'd like to create a city ward map that actually pays attention to the needs of neighborhoods and communities, rather than, once again, simply protecting incumbent aldermen. Now, Mayor Lightfoot is 100% behind that, and that's a big deal. So if we can do that, that would be a huge win for the city of Chicago. We have neighborhoods in Chicago that are represented by five different wards. How would you possibly know what alderman to go to if you need something done? You don't. And that's one of the ways the wards were constructed, so that people were basically powerless. We should reconstruct these ward boundaries so that they match up with neighborhoods as closely as possible, and people will know the alderman they want to go to, maybe match them up with the school district and the police district. So if you need education help or law enforcement help or a pothole fixed or something like that, you have one person to go to instead of having to figure out which of the five aldermen represent you.
It's a true story.
It can be done.
Andy, true story. I was trying to put together a mom's group in the park near my house, and there were two different aldermen who represented the park. It was half over there and half over there. So it mattered where we were going to sit and set up. And I contacted Fioretti, and then I contacted Burnett, and I was asking what we could do. And he said, well, that's not my ward, that's his ward. True story. Just to get something like that done, very basic, it speaks to the point of what you're saying. It's just, don't they have to vote themselves out? How does that reform take place?
Well, interestingly, to create a ward map in Chicago, you need 40 of the 50 aldermen, which means you need the super majority. So we're going to put together a commission. Change Illinois is going to put together a commission made up of people from the neighborhoods, and we're going to get a cartographer to draw a fair map. And if we can get the support of 10 aldermen, that's only 20%. If we can get 10 progressive, well-meaning aldermen to support an alternate map, that map will go on the ballot next year, and the voters of Chicago can choose between the gerrymandered map and a fair map. How do you think that one's going to come out? If you say to a citizen, hey, you got a choice between a map that is worried about you and representation, or a map that's designed to protect your alderman, which one will you choose?
That wins
in a landslide. So this is something that's doable, and it's harder at the state level because we don't see the same commitment to redistricting reform from either Don Harmon, the Senate president, or Chris Welch at this point. But if we can open up the state process a bit, instead of having a map drawn in a back room by Madigan and voted on in the middle of the night by the legislature, maybe we can have some public hearings, two or three or four. Maybe they'll consider an alternate map presented by a group like ours. So, again, this is a fight we have to keep waging, and people have to, you know, people, they can watch us from afar or they can contribute. But the key is the fight is going to continue, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can.
Yeah, speaking of Speaker Welch, just a few minutes left here, Andy, but he has floated this graduated income tax thing, and he's trying to tie it to pensions, you know, we're just going to use it for pensions. I think he's sort of trying to bank on this idea that he's not Madigan and that people didn't trust Springfield under Madigan. I don't know how much more people trust it now, but that he is saying this is the way forward. Do you agree with that, putting out the graduated income tax for the pension reform?
No, I don't know if we talked about it on your show, but I wrote an op-ed some months ago basically saying that even though I am for fair taxation and I believe in a graduated income tax conceptually, the wealthier you are, the more you should pay, not now in Illinois, because I don't trust what they're going to do with those additional dollars. And it's not fair to gouge people just because they're wealthy if the money's going to be wasted. Now, the idea of putting money into pensions is a good one, but I don't know that it's fair to say, okay, it's up to the wealthy people in Illinois to fix a pension system that was broken by the politicians. I think that's going to have the same pushback that the graduated income tax pushback, you know, had to defeat that in November. I just think, yes, in a perfect world, the more money you make, the more taxes you should pay. But this is Illinois. It's a broken state. And I don't think it's fair to just increase taxes on people because they have money and then say, okay, we screwed it up, you're going to fix it. That's just not fair to me. I think a lot of things have to happen in Illinois before I would support higher taxes for anything. Some of the reforms I mentioned have to be passed. Talking about pensions, we need to get rid of the amendment in the Constitution that does not allow any changes in pension benefits. I'm not saying that we should be, you know, taking things away from people in a cavalier, unfair way, but we need to be able to revisit the pension system and decide what is fair and what isn't. And you need some tweaks in that system to start driving down the unfunded liability. It can't just be fixed with higher taxes. It has to be fixed with a healthier pension system. So let's see an amendment to open up the pension process, and then we can talk about more revenue.
It's the one thing that comes up when people say, hey, it's part of the Constitution. They can't do anything to change this. This is the way it is for pensions. Let's move forward. And that's where it comes to all these taxation solutions. It's interesting you suggest otherwise.
That's Illinois. The pensions, look, we as reform groups tried to pass redistricting reform. The Supreme Court, led by Democrats, threw that out. There was a pension reform bill passed some years ago. Supreme Court threw that one out, led by Democrats. So these things have been tried. I'll tell you, the most interesting election in 2022 may not be for governor or attorney general or legislative seats. It may be for an open Supreme Court seat. You know, James Kilbride, he wasn't retained. He lost his retention fight in November. And now, if the Republicans can win that seat, they take over the majority in the General Assembly. And even though I'm nonpartisan, I don't want Republicans in just because they're Republicans, but they would be in support of pension reform and term limits and income tax reform. There's a lot of reforms that they would approve of that the Democrats didn't. And so that will be an interesting one to watch to see how that plays. A lot of money will be spent to either protect the seat for Democrats or turn it over to Republicans. And that could be one of the most important things that happens in 2022, regardless of who the governor is.
Mm-hmm. Always interesting to get your thoughts on this stuff, Andy. If people want to get more involved with Change Illinois, which is the group that you're now a board member with, what do they do? Where do they go?
Well, two things. You can either go to the website. It's changeill, changeill.org. And let me just say this. All the things I proposed are Andy Shaw's reforms. Change supports some of them, not all of them. I wrote the op-ed as Andy Shaw, not just the Change board member. Most of what I support is part of Change. So changeill.org, if you want to help us with it, you can. It shows you how to donate. And if you want to talk to me about this, send me an email. AndyShawChicago@gmail.com. That's pretty easy. AndyShawChicago, all one word, lowercase, @gmail.com. You want to talk about any of these things, I'm happy to dialogue with you by email, because you have the radio show and I don't.
Oh, well, Andy, you're welcome to come on. I love having you on. Just come on anytime. Okay, Andy, I got to let you go, though, because I'm not going to have a radio show if I don't hit the news on time. So thank you.
Bye, Anna.